I think it's been a good study for us. We've learned a lot of good principles, I believe, from God's Word and through the life of Gideon, and then also, of course, after his death, the things that happened there and his children being slain. 70 sons he had. The Bible says he had many wives. He also had then another son by the name of Abimelech, which was the son of a concubine. And the son of the concubine, as you remember, came after the death of Gideon and wanted to be the leadership of the people, especially the people of Shechem. And so when they accepted that, he came and he slew the sons of Gideon. Actually ended up slaying 69 of them. Jothan, which was the youngest son, had fled and he hid himself, and so he was not killed. And then soon after that, Jothan came and he gave what I call the parable of the trees. He stood upon a very high flat area, kind of they called it, it was a mountain area, and down at the valley was the people. And he spoke to them and gave them this parable of the trees, showing forth that there was going to come a time that the men of Shechem was going to be killed, and then also the bramble, which was Abimelech, was also going to die. And then I think we kind of ended on this this principle that I shared with you. For 3 years, Abimelech reigned for 3 years. And I wanted to kind of share this with you and go back just to a couple places in the scripture because 3 years is a long time after he had been given this parable. And then he fled, and he was fearful of his life, and he fled. Well, when you think about it, 3 years is a long time. But I want to remind us this morning, it is so important that we learn to wait on God. That's more important than I think we think. You go over to Psalms. Let's do that. Psalms 27, just share with you. Psalms 27, it's a wonderful, wonderful psalm. And I know you're going to say all the psalms are wonderful, and they are. But Psalms 27 is just one of those that is really so encouraging. And he starts off, and I'm not going to read the whole thing, but he starts off on Psalm 27, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" There again, that's what a wonderful, precious verse of scripture that is for God's people. Well, you just look at that. The Lord is our strength. Who do we have to fear? But I'm going to then skip to the very last verse of that psalm and share with you there as he says, "Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." And again, God tells us to learn to wait on him. I look at some of the problems and troubles of young people, sometimes younger couples, and I find that they have not learned yet the principle of waiting on God. And I might just make mention of this, especially in their finances. We see young couples getting in trouble financially because they're just unwilling to wait on God. And let me just share with you. Please learn and let God work things out. He has his own timing. And I'm not just talking about finances, but that is an important area. It's important for all of us. But let me say to you, especially some of our younger couples, It's so easy to begin to want. But God wants us to be patient and wait and let God work things out. There are so many things that I think we have wants for that really God doesn't want us to have. Or if he does, if it's okay with him, he wants us to wait. And yet, on the other hand, let me say, getting away from just the finances, there's so many things that happen in our life that if we'll just be patient, God knows how to work them out. He just knows how to work them out, and he will. And that's why he says here, you know, wait, he says, on the Lord, and be of good courage. You see, he says, he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And I just want to kind of encourage you today to learn to wait on God. Be patient and wait on him. I know here with Jonathan, that must have been a difficult time, those 3 years. Abimelech was a wicked, wicked, wicked person. But the time was going to come and did come when God took care of that. He judged Abimelech, and Abimelech was destroyed. And in fact, a woman threw a piece of pottery down, a millstone down, excuse me, and hit him on the head, and he was about ready to die. And he asked his servant there, his armor bearer, to slay him, to run him through, because he didn't want to be said that he was killed by a woman. But what I'm saying, if you look at the scriptures and you look at this, you find out that there comes a time when God takes care of what he said he would do. And we've just got to learn to wait. I'm not going to really read a lot of it. I should have saved my place there in Psalms. But over in Psalms 37, I would like to encourage you to take some time and just sit down and read Psalm 37. I would suggest you do it very slowly. But it's a tremendous portion of Scripture, because there's times when we look around, we don't understand a lot of things. We see so many things happening, even where the wicked seem to be getting by with all kinds of things and seem to be prospering, and many times they do. But if you will just read Psalm 37 sometimes, I said, take your time and read it, you'll be encouraged. I'm going to just read a few verses. He says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and wither as the green herb." Do you understand what he's saying? You look and you see the wicked many times prospering and doing well and seemingly getting by with their wickedness. But he says they're going to be cut down just like grass. Just be patient. And he says, and then he says, "Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass." And again, he's pointing us back to trusting God. Just trust him daily. If I can encourage you this morning, I'd like to do, as your Sunday school teacher, I hope your life is a life of blessings of God. And if you and I will just learn that we need to have a communion with the Lord on daily basis. And if I don't know what you do in your Bible reading, but let me say something to you. Please read some of the Bible every day. Let God speak to you. I'm going to tell you what I do, but that doesn't mean a thing. Everybody does everything different. I read 5 chapters of the Bible every day. I read 2 out of the Old Testament. Actually, 3, because I read 2 out of the old, back in the Old Testament, and then I read either a proverb or a psalm. And when I get done with that, I go back to the beginning of Psalms and start and go through Psalms and Proverbs. And then I read 2 chapters out of the New Testament. Now, I enjoy doing it that way, but that doesn't mean that's the way you should do it. But I'm saying to you, please read something from God's Word every day. And you know, even if you would read a chapter, I mean, I would want you to read more than that. I want you to do that. But if you just read something, it'll just help you so much, because that's the Word of God. And then let me say also, spend some time praying for a while. You know, I have a long list that I pray, but you don't have to have a long list. But please spend some time. That's God speaking to you through His Word, and then you speaking to God. And He'll listen to you. You see, I think sometimes we think that God don't care about us, but He does. He cares about you. And so take time to read a little bit of God's Word. Take time to spend a little bit of time in prayer. If you can spend a lot of time, I would encourage it. But spend some time in prayer. And then let me encourage you, a good way to live is to just throughout the day stay in communion with the Lord. Just talk to Him. Ask Him about everything. Talk to Him about everything. All right? I know you can't just do that all the time. You've got busy doing other things, but your mind many times is free to just praise the Lord and talk to Him and ask Him. And some of the decisions you have to make in life, ask Him about them. He's concerned. He cares. And if I can just encourage you, because that makes us, you see, have that precious relationship with God and that closeness to God. And He wants that from you. I don't care who you are. He wants that from you. So will you kind of do your best to practice that? And just talk to Him. Talk to Him about everything. I don't care what it is. Just talk to Him. He's concerned. He cares. He's bigger. He's big. He's wonderful. And you're not going to overdo His ability to answer. He's God. And cares about all things. So again, I want to say to you, learn, please. Learn to wait on God. Now, I want to caution you. There's sometimes you don't have things, you don't have to wait on them. If you're to be a witness and a prayer warrior and read your Bible, those are things you don't have to stop and say, God, I'm going to see to it that you tell me to do this. He's already told us in His Word. All right? He's already told us that. But I'm saying many things in life and decisions of life, we need to wait on God. Okay? And let Him work things out. Learn to be patient. Okay? Just learn to be patient. Well, the Bible tells us in chapter 9 of Judges. Let me look here. I've got to get back to it. That when Jothan, in verse 21, Jothan ran away and fled and went to Beer and dwelt there for fear of Abimelech, his brother. And when Abimelech had reigned 3 years over Israel, then God sent an evil spirit between Abimelech and the men of Shechem, and the men of Shechem dwelt treacherously with Abimelech. I might just mention to you, I think we mentioned it last week, the old chickens are going to come home to roost. He ruled here and reigned for 3 years. God intervened, and it says He sent an evil spirit. He allowed the evil spirit to rise up in another man who wanted the leadership. His name was Gael. I am not going to go through all this whole story. It's a lengthy story. But Gael was allowed to rise up by the Lord and to fight against Abimelech. And so you continue through the scriptures. In fact, over here in the very last of chapter 9, just let me just share with you there. In verse 52, it says, Abimelech came unto the tower and fought against it and went hard unto the door of the tower to burn it with fire. And a certain woman cast a piece of millstone upon Abimelech's head and all to break his skull. And I've already mentioned to you, so we're going to skip down in verse 56. Thus God rendered the wickedness of Abimelech, which he did unto his father in slaying his 70 brethren. And all the evil of the men of Shechem did God render upon their heads, and upon them came the curse of Jotham, the son of Jerubbaal, in other words, the son of Gideon. In other words, it just all came home to rest. And that prophecy that Jotham had given came true. The Bible speaks of this, of the cruelty of Abimelech, the cruelty of what he did to the 70 sons or 69 sons of Gideon. There's been cruel things happen in this old world. Hitler, 6 million Jews slain. You understand what I'm saying? This is not. This was 70 or 69. Hitler and then Mao of China claim he was guilty of allowing 60 million, not 6 million, 60 million of his people to die. 60 million. Leaders all over this world have been responsible for multitudes and multitudes and multitudes of deaths. Idi Amin of Uganda, you remember him years ago, was responsible for multitudes and multitudes of the death of his people. You can just look anywhere. It's going on today. There's cruelty and wickedness everywhere. Let me say to you, are you reminded of 50 million little babies in America? 50 million. Did you know they claim, I know we don't know just exact numbers, but it's close to 4,000 babies a day average is aborted. It's unbelievable. Do you understand what I'm saying? You talk about wickedness. And yet we kind of want to look and think that, you know, our country is okay, and boy, we're a great country. Well, I'm grateful and thankful for every Christian in America, and I'm grateful and thankful for everything they do. But I want to tell you, we're living in a wicked nation. Living in a wicked nation. When they can kill 4,000 babies on average every day, It's just unbelievable to me. One man said this: the degree of man's wickedness is reflected in his cruelty to others. And boy, I don't know about you. Well, I think I do. I sit and I look at some of these cruel and wicked things that's going on, and I say, how could someone do that? How could they do that? But we've got to remember, they don't have the Holy Spirit of God in them. And wickedness men are capable of great wickedness. You see, when you don't have God, when you don't have the Holy Spirit of God, you're capable of great wickedness, you see. And that's what's going on. That's why God in the scriptures here referred to it as cruelty and cruel things. And then I want you just to go back to chapter 8. I'm just going to read one verse there in chapter 8 of Judges, verse 28. Thus was Midian subdued before the children of Israel, that they lifted up their heads no more, and the country was in quietness 40 years in the days of Gideon. I wanted to read that because I wanted to mention that after Gideon died, during the time of Gideon, 40 years. It was a time when they ought to have been thanking God for all that he had done. It was a time when they ought to have been drawing near unto the Lord. But instead of that, they was drawing farther and farther away from God. If you looked at the last of that chapter 8, you'll find that their hearts, immediately after he died, they turned back to Baal and Ashtaroth, to the wicked worshiping of these wicked gods. And I say, and I think about it, I thought, you know, is it true also of America? We've had some wonderful times. We've had some times of prosperity, and we've had times of peace. And yet, did we use that time as a time to draw near to God and to be thankful and grateful for what God has done for us? I'm sorry, I think the parallel is when we see these nations and see Israel doing, I think the parallel is there in America. I think we're seeing the very same thing. You're sitting in a church where there's people who love God and want to serve God, but you want to go out on the highways and the byways of this country this morning and see how many is in houses of God where they truly preach the Word of God. You see, and we want to act like that God would never do anything to us or allow anything to happen to us. I believe he has to. I believe he has to judge America. And so I'm saying to you, I know you can't help what everybody else does, but we sure can. We sure can, for our own self, realizing that we ought to be a thankful people every day of our life instead of a complaining, griping people. We ought to be praising God for every single thing he does. And he is good to us. He's good. He's good to you. You're here this morning. Don't look like any of us didn't have something to eat already this morning or yesterday or what. God took care of you and me, most of us. Sister Dolores, I'm going to tell you, I drove by your house this morning, and I looked at Donna, and I said, you know, I just thank God so much for what he did in giving you that place. I just wanted you to know that. I really am. You and Tom served the Lord and was faithful, and I know it took some time, but I thought, isn't that good how God took care of her? I'm just so thankful for it. And every time I drive by there, I just say thank you, Lord, for what you did for her. And I think probably that everybody in here, if we really need to, we could look and say, God, thank you for what you've done for us. He's just good and he's gracious to us. And it may take some time sometimes, but it's okay. God knows the right timing. And so we find then, and again, we're not going to read all of it, but we find that Abimelech, of course, as we've seen, he was killed. And in chapter 10, the first five verses, God raises up two more judges. And again, we're not going to read those verses, but one of them reigned for 22 years. One of them reigned for 23 years. Again, after all of this other had taken place, Abimelech and all of those, and he died, God allowed another 45 years of peace. And what I want to share with you and what is so scary about it is those years of peace and prosperity and ought to have just given Israel a time to just be thankful and grateful for what God had done. But instead, it's just the opposite. If you'll look in verse number 6 of chapter 10, it says, "And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and served Balaam and Ashtaroth, and the gods of Syria, and the gods of Sidon, and the gods of Moab, and the gods of the children of Ammon, and the gods of the Philistines, and forsook the Lord and served not him." You know, the shame of this is that they didn't just go back to the one gods, that the Baal and Ashtaroth. They got worse. They started worshiping all the gods there of Syria and these other countries. And after these 45 years, again, of the blessing of God upon their life, here we find they did evil again. And I want to tell you something. I am really concerned. I mean really concerned, because when I see within the churches of America, and I get reports, I hear a lot, Pastor Jerry tells me some things, and I hear from other men of God. And I want to tell you, the churches that used to be fundamental, God-fearing, good fundamental Baptists are slipping away. I mean fast and furious. And you may not understand it, because what happens is it's not just all at once they turned and said, we don't believe in Jesus. Of course they don't do that. But they just begin to slip a little at a time. And that's what's so scary. One of the things when I was pastor, I always tried to do is watch the little things. And you better keep your eye on the little things, because little things turn into big things. And let me say this. There is some of the areas in a church that you have to be so careful, and music is one of them. You better be careful with the music, because when you see it slipping and you see these people begin to sing these more contemporary type music, you better look out, because that's just a start. That's just the beginning. Because it won't be long, it'll be right on down the road into something else, some other area of the church. So I'm just saying to you, I'm warning you, because all over this country, there are churches that are going by the wayside. And a lot of times it starts right there, and it starts in the standards of the church. The standards begin to drop. You better listen to me. They begin to drop, and they'll do so just a little bit. But it isn't long. It's more than just a little bit, because it has no stopping place. And I'm saying to you, it's happening in America. Amen? So here's one fella, and our pastor stands there too. Thank God. That I don't want to hear contemporary music. I'm not interested in it. I don't want to hear it. And it really gets under my skin when I do. Because I've spent too many years here trying to keep this place straight. And our pastor is doing the same thing. But I'm just saying to you, we don't need that in this church. And we've got to stand fast on the standards. You don't let them slip a little bit, because pretty soon it's like this. Amen. So I'm just saying to you, this is happening all over. But right here in Jasonville, Indiana, let's just keep it straight. You can't change everybody else. You can't determine what everybody else does. I can't determine what the church down the street does or anything else, but we can determine what happens here. Amen. And you know what your pastor needs, Pastor Jerry needs? He needs a people that's willing to stand behind him and with him and do it without being asked. Just do it. Amen. Why don't you go over to 2 Timothy, please. Second Timothy, the third chapter. See, America as a whole is doing evil in the eyes of the Lord. Our government is leading it down those paths. And we're doing evil. You can't abort 50 million babies and say that's not evil. You can't allow sodomites to rule and make laws in your government and say that's not evil. That's evil. It's wicked. So we've got to understand we're in real trouble. Over in 2 Timothy, the third chapter, I know it's familiar, but I want you to listen to what he says. He says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." Folks, we are in the last days and perilous times. That word perilous means dangerous times. Very dangerous times will come. We are in the last days. Because you know how I know? Because the next few scriptures describe what is happening, and every one of them is evident. Every one of them. Just let me read him. He says, "For men shall be lovers of their own selves." Now, I don't have to expound on all of these. Don't you understand? Don't you know we're living in a self-loving society? It doesn't mean everybody is that way, but as a whole, we're living where men are lovers of their own self. They're boasters. They're proud, they're boasters, and they're also covetous. Wanting, coveting, and never satisfied when being content with just what? Food and raiment and shelter. That's what God tells us to be content with. I mean, am I wrong? Isn't that what he tells us to be content? Contentment? That's where contentment ought to be. And yet we are covetous there. Where America is a covetous people. They continually want. And then boastful and proud and blasphemers. They don't care a bit anymore on the airways to say things against God and to blaspheme God. It don't bother them. Where it used to be, folks, years ago, when Bob Townsley and Charles English and Don Mowry and some of us who's up there in a few years, and Brother Cinders and so, used to, I want to tell you what, that wouldn't have been put up with on airways. Maxine, you know that. You remember those days. It just wouldn't have been done. Now you hear it. They don't mind blaspheming God. We're where it says we are right here. And he says, disobedient to parents. Do I have to expound on that? Unthankful. One of the greatest sins is unthankfulness. It starts downward trail to wickedness. Unthankfulness. We got too much to be thankful for. We must be a thankful people. And also unholy, without natural affections. Do you know it's a natural thing to love God? The natural affection should be, love of God should be natural. That's natural. That should be. A love of mom and dad's ought to be just natural. That just ought to be natural. Love for children ought to be just natural. See, that's a natural thing. See, but no. We see now this without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent. That incontinent means lack of self-control. No self-control. He said, fierce and despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, which means recklessness, and high-minded, which means people who are puffed up, and a lover of pleasure more than lovers of God. And do I have to say anything on that? Everywhere you look, it's people seeking out pleasures, fun, pleasures, more than lovers of God. I could say it in this church or other churches. Why in the world aren't these churches filled this morning to overflowing with a thankful people who are grateful to God Almighty? Why aren't they? Because they're lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. See, this is what I'm trying to say to you. This is where we're at. We're there. We don't have to wait down the road. We are there. And we need to realize where we are. We need to just be busy about loving God. And as I said earlier, have a close relationship with the Lord. Love the Lord. Walk with Him. Read His Word. Pray unto Him. We've got plenty to pray about. Witness for Him. Be a witness for God. Do everything you can as you live through the day to be some kind of a witness to those that are lost. That's not a hard thing to do. Amen. Pick up some tracts. Pass them out. You know, say a word of encouragement. Do you get what I'm saying? We're in troubled times. And we just need so much to get back unto our God where we should be. I'm just about to think I've about run out of time here. But what Israel did, they, instead of getting closer to God, they just got worse and worse and worse. And I think America's there. I think that's where she's heading. So anyway, I'm saying to you, just wanted to encourage you this morning, you got a God who loves you. No, he loves you very much. And he wants that close relationship with you. He'll answer your prayers. Yes, he will. Yes, he will. Just keep praying. Wait on him and love him. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for your love and kindness to us. Thank you for who you are. You're good to us, Father. Thank you. And Lord, thank you for those things that we can be encouraged by the scriptures. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.